And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Fletcher show was terrible. Missouri's a 5 seed, and Missouri is really a good team, and they have one of the best players in college basketball. And I fully anticipate that they'll play well, and they got the matchups they wanted.
I'm not running, you know, from being in a UConn bracket.
I think just the fact that she said she's not running from the UConn bracket makes me think she's running from the UConn bracket. They sometimes make it harder on themselves. He's going to play his butt off.
Crossover against Ali. Three-pointer. It's good. It's a 12-0 run for the Bonnies. The Radford Highlanders are victorious in the NCAA tournament. Next up, Villanova.
With attitude, chemistry, effort.
We definitely have to recharge our batteries. We understand the task at hand. We're definitely excited to be here.
In practice, we were awesome. There are things happening that haven't happened.
Do or die. This time of the season, anything can happen.
We've been through experiences that we're going to experience in Boise.
I don't know much about Davidson. They're playing well.
Obviously, we're excited to embark on this yet another new season. Just a great opportunity for our program. We're glad to be back.
Well, we're excited about the tournament.
It's just the next game.
I like our group.
Coach speak alive and well in the NCAA tournament. We open things up on our montage here for a Wednesday afternoon with the SEC Network's Jarrett Sutton. His visit yesterday here on the Closers. And then it threw in there Dawn Staley not running or running from UConn. She's positive she's not. Jarrett Sutton thinks differently. The Bonnies go on a 12-0 run against the Bruins, and the Bruins go one and done. Final call last night as well. Radford wins their first ever NCAA game. Enjoy that one, because now you get number one seed Villanova as Radford beats LIU Brooklyn. The Highlanders. Mike Davis, Lavelle Moten, Bobby Hurley, Rashard Odoms, Bob McKillop. All talking. McKillop from Davidson, John Kailapari. I don't know much about Davidson. Okay. All right. Avery Johnson, happy to be there. He's also happy to still have a job. Sean Miller, happy to be there. He's also still happy to have a job. Mike White from Florida. Buzz Williams, he just likes his kids. And really, I mean, who wouldn't like their kids? Right, Bill Connelly, Rock M Nation?
Sometimes. I mean, if we're not talking about 100% of the time thing, yeah, then sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Man, NCAA tournament is going to get going, but first there is some big news out of the Connelly household, and I'm afraid of our future visits together, that they might not be as leisurely on a Wednesday afternoon. But you're going on to bigger and better things, are you not?
Yeah, taking on a bigger role at SB Nation, and not wanting to neglect my duties at Rock M Nation. So we're going to look for a new co-manager with Sam Snelling over at Rock M, and let that make sure that site is getting the attention it very much deserves.
All right. Well, congratulations on that.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Selfishly, I hope it still allows us time to visit, because I do enjoy the visits.
Absolutely.
All right. Our annual foray into the NCAA bracket. The selection committee did their job on Sunday evening. Some say they did it poorly. Some say there were some grievous omissions, which happens every year. But let's start with the grievous omission. USC, the highest rated, the highest RPI rated team anyway to ever be left out of the NCAA tournament. What's their argument that they should have been included?
Well, if they have the highest RPI of any, and they finished very well in their conference. Obviously, non-conference did not. Yeah, that's a lot of the reason why they were held out. But I mean, yeah, they finished the year playing as well as they had, and you know, I'm not going to feel too sorry for power conference teams to get left out. So I just can't. You know, when you've got a situation like St. Mary's, didn't play anybody, got punished for not playing a very tough non-conference slate, when that's pretty hard to do, as we know. For the mid majors to really have just a ton of control over the quality of their non conference, and you know, a team like Middle Tennessee, which has the reputation now, has beaten Michigan State in the tournament, has beaten Minnesota in the tournament, and then not only got left out, but got a 3 seed in the NIT.
Yeah.
Just a really Mid-majors prove themselves every single year in the NCAA tournament, and every single year they get kind of jerked around when it comes to the next selection for the next tournament. And it's I don't really know the solution at all. It just gets very it makes me very weary after a while, especially when we see the exact same thing happen in football.
Yeah, Bill Connolly, Rock'em Nation, SB Family of Nations. You can also follow him on Twitter at @SBN_BillC. We'll do our brackets here. We're going to do a pair of brackets in this segment, then a pair of brackets in the next segment, and then we'll look at the Missouri weekend up ahead as they will take on Florida State beginning on Friday evening. All right, so the East bracket, the one seed in this one happens to be Villanova, and as I look through their bracket, I'm like, wow, they treated that bracket like they wanted Villanova to be treated like the overall number one seed. Relatively easy path. It's not ridiculously difficult. It's not ridiculously easy, but it's kind of right there in the middle. It's manageable for Jay Wright and the Villanova Wildcats. Does Villanova come out of that, or is there somebody in there that could upend the Wildcat apple cart?
Well, I mean, West Virginia, we've seen. I mean, they are capable of bursts of just pure dominance. And you know, the reason they're only a five seed is those bursts then are followed by, you know, a little bit of a drought here and there, as we saw in the Missouri game way back when, as we saw in the Kansas game the other day in the Big 12 tournament title game. Like, that's kind of their thing, but that makes them very dangerous because they're extremely volatile. Another volatile team in the bracket is Florida. They played like two seed for part of the year, and they played like an NIT team for a good portion of the year. And so it's really, really hard to know what's in store there. The first time I kind of glanced through and filled out the bracket, I had them advancing to the Elite Eight, and then realized, oh God, that's really stupid because you cannot trust Florida at all. And I backed off a little bit, but it's a very balanced region. You look at the Ken Pomeroy rankings, the seedings mostly make sense. You have Villanova is number two overall in Pomeroy, Purdue's five, which is obviously pretty tricky, but you've got, you know, Tech 12, West Virginia 13, Wichita State 20. It's a pretty well-distributed bracket in that way. But it means that they'll probably have a very good opponent in the Sweet 16 and an even better opponent in the Elite Eight.
You know, you look at that bracket progressing. I mean, there's not many more round of 32 matchups that I have penciled in as more exciting than West Virginia, Wichita State. I mean, you've got two coaching legends. You've got interesting styles, as we know, styles make fights. And I mean, I think, you know, when you look at a round of 32, the NCAA committee really knocked it out of the park with West Virginia and Wichita State in a presumptive 4-5 matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. That one's going to be really fun. And if good Florida shows up, then Florida Tech could be a very high caliber matchup, too. After, you know, with my 40 minutes of experience of watching St. Bonaventure this year, I've decided they are a major threat. You know, I'm now a St. Bonaventure expert like we all are. And I think they could offer a major threat to Florida if Florida isn't hitting outside shots, if they're not doing the things that they did when they were doing very well this year. So that one's kind of something to watch, but still, yeah, you've got two really, really nice games there. And honestly, if we're talking about styles and fights, if Arkansas does get by Butler, and I'm not predicting them to, but if they do, you know, they can put pressure on Purdue in a way, in, you know, the unique Mike Anderson way that often does pretty well in a tournament setting.
Yeah, we'll see. And I don't believe in Arkansas, so I've got Butler moving on.
Yeah.
And then Butler taking out Purdue. I don't trust Florida, so I have them losing to Texas Tech.
Yeah, I think the two teams I trust the most in this region are Villanova and West Virginia. West Virginia's volatility is at least consistent, if that makes any sense, in that they will have good bursts and bad bursts back and forth. They'll have like eight of each over the course of a game. It won't be something where they just lay a complete and total egg. So I think those are probably the two most trustworthy teams in this region. But yeah, you got Purdue, who I don't really trust, Florida, Butler, Arkansas, all these teams that could absolutely, make a Final Four run, it's hard to predict that because they could absolutely lose in the first round.
I was disappointed to see that Stephen F. Austin did not make the Nashville pod because I wanted Konzo Martin to get a repeat. I wanted him to go visit the locker room again get a repeat in if they won a tight game, lost a tight game, something like that. But everyone I think moves Texas Tech to the next line. But as we saw, I mean, Stephen F. Austin plays. Can play a really interesting game, and it's one of those things. 14-3 is not a common upset, but boy, that Stephen F. Austin team was tough.
Yeah, I'm never going to predict a 14 over a 3, but there's no question, especially when, I mean, who has more tournament experience, even if Austin or Texas Tech?
Right.
They're not going to be cowed by the setting. Plus, I think it's in Dallas, if I remember right.
Yes.
So that's a really, I feel bad. I feel like I'm overlooking Texas Tech. I'm struggling with the idea that we live in a world where Texas Tech has been the, according to Ken Pomeroy, 12th best team in the country this year. It's something that my brain just seems to reject. I mean, they have a healthy advantage in terms of the advanced stats over Stephen F. Austin, but you got to give SFA a chance, I think, because they are experienced, because they're tough, even though they're not quite as skilled overall as they have been in previous tournaments. That we know they're tough, and we know they'll play really well in this kind of setting, and we'll see if Texas Tech does the same.
Who do you got coming out of that East region into the Final Four?
I think I trust that, and this is a weird thing because guard-oriented teams, three-pointers and all that, I think I trust Villanova more than any team in this tournament. So I'm going to absolutely have them going to the Final Four.
All right. So far, we're in agreement on that one. I have them coming out of the East. I haven't quite figured out the bottom portion of that bracket that they've got, but I have them coming out. It really doesn't matter who they play. They're coming out. All right. Midwest bracket is our second bracket. The top seed there is Kansas. They will take on the Quakers to open things up, a 116. Duke is the 2 seed in that one. I've seen a lot of bracketology that says Duke wins the entire shooting match, but this is not an easy bracket for the 1 or the 2 seed to get through when you talk about volatility, when you have the volatility of a Bruce Pearl-coached Auburn team.
Yeah, I mean, this region is loaded. Kansas wasn't done just a whole lot of favors here, especially, you know, again, leaning on the Pomeroy rankings kind of set perspective here. Kansas, per Pomeroy, is the third best team in this region. They are the 1 seed, but they're 9th overall behind number 3 Duke and number 6 Michigan State. Plus then, you know, as you were saying, you got number 16 Auburn, and we've seen Bruce Pearl teams in a tournament setting doing very dangerous things. And then Clemson's 19. Clemson's the Texas Tech of this region. And then I just completely overlooked them and think they might lose to New Mexico State. But they've been very good this year, too. So, plus, TCU's 22nd still. So a lot of quality in this bracket. And, I mean, you are looking at a situation where, to get to the Final Four, Kansas might have to go through a top 30 team in Seton Hall. Yes, they'll probably beat Penn, no matter how much we're rooting for an alternative result. But a top 30 team in Seton Hall, a top 20 team in either Clemson or Auburn, and then a top 5 or 6 team in Duke and Michigan State. So, I mean, if they get there, they've earned it, but I doubt they will.
And, I mean, we're not going to talk ourselves into this Penn thing, huh? We're not doing that?
You know, I saw somebody just laying it out saying this, you know, as good a chance as we're going to get, you know, not only because Penn is the highest ranked of the 16 that Kansas is just the number 9 team in the country overall, but also because Kansas does shoot a whole lot of three-pointers. And when you do that, as we've seen in previous years in the tournament and everything else, sometimes they don't fall, you know, and so Penn does a good job on the perimeter. I assume Kansas will then lean more on the interior. Lots of those lobs that we grew to hate through the years and all that. But if they really do start settling for three-pointers, Penn could be in position to at least stick around for a while if they're not all falling. And, I mean, who knows? Maybe they will all fall.
Bill Connelly,
they all fell in the second half against West Virginia, that's for sure.
Well, that and the whistle all went in the – anyway. Bill Connelly, Rockham Nation, SB Family of Nations with us here on the close. I know we're waiting to see what happens tonight with the 11 play-in game. I'm sorry, the first four.
Yes.
And
yes,
Dayton, yes. The 11 seed here, Arizona State and Syracuse. Which one gives TCU the toughest matchup and the least likelihood for the Horned Frogs to move on out of a 6 seed?
Well, I think ASU probably showed more upside this year than Syracuse did, especially, I mean, obviously early in the year, it's been a little while now. Mm-hmm. So, that, you know, like an Oklahoma or somebody, they haven't necessarily showed their top game nearly as much lately. But they did do a lot of damage early in the year, and they have that upside in them. But this is, if we're going by tournament rules, the more Syracuse is doubted, the better they do. So I'm just going to assume that Syracuse beats Arizona State, TCU, and Michigan State and goes to the Sweet 16, even though they probably shouldn't have even been in the tournament. That seems to be all the motivation a Boeheim team ever needs. So, yeah, go ahead and book that. Book them into the Elite Eight, for that matter.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Yeah, don't do that, by the way.
Okay.
So that was
sarcastic. I get that now. Okay. I've got Rhode Island upsetting Oklahoma for two different features. One, Rhode Island played about the worst they could in their tournament, and Oklahoma has hit such the skids. I don't know as if they have the confidence and the likability of each other to bounce out of that. Is that, am I looking at my very first 10-7 upset?
Well, I mean, I you know, they're basically even in the advanced stats, and I'm really confused by Oklahoma just because, like, I at the same time, I see two different – I have two different visions here. Them bombing out to Rhode Island, losing by, like, 12 or something, or Trae Young scoring 48 and then beating Duke in the second round. I don't know which one I'm rooting for. Kind of want to see Trae Young score 48 against Duke. But no, they, Rhode Island is a very tough team, and you know, I think they that's a coin toss at best for Oklahoma. If we use any, if we're looking at trends at all, I would say Rhode Island has played better of late, and that probably gives them the edge.
All right, who is your who's coming out of your Midwest bracket into that Final Four?
Man, I don't want to. Well, I don't think Kansas makes it. I think that's just too many landmines.
Right.
And I've seen too many people picking Michigan State. That immediately the bracket competitor in me immediately taps the brakes when I see that.
Okay.
So I guess that basically leaves Duke. We could have something like a Duke Auburn Elite Eight game, which would be super fun. But barring the aforementioned 48-point Trae Young explosion, but I do think Duke has the probably the highest ceiling here, and just has the as good a road as you're going to get in that region. So, you know, pick the upstart Duke Blue Devils.
Okay, my upset out of the East, number 10 Butler over number 7 Arkansas. My upset out of the Midwest bracket is New Mexico State over Clemson. Do you have an upset?
That one's pretty good, and I really do think, I mean, as TCU's another team that they probably peaked a little earlier. And they're probably not as good as their ratings say. So the winner of Syracuse, Arizona State, whoever that is going to have a pretty good chance too.
All right. So do you have an upset coming out of that East or Midwest bracket? You're like, okay, that's those. Check those off as far as filling out that portion of the bracket.
I really do like the style that St. Bonaventure plays, but I'm just going to blindly guess the good Florida shows up. But yeah, New Mexico State Clemson is a good one. That one's reasonably evenly matched as far as 5-12s go. That one sounds good.
All right. Bill Conley, Rock M Nation. We tackle the South and the West bracket next. You up for that one?
Let's do it.
All right. We will do that. Bill Conley, Rock M Nation. We're going to tackle the next two brackets, the South bracket, which is important to our local folks, and my bracket just went flying on the floor, so I just reach over and grab another one. And the South bracket, that is next.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
And welcome back to The Closers here alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young. We go now to the other half of the bracket, the South and the West regions. And, of course, the West region involves the University of Missouri. We'll break down the Missouri bracket in the weekend and a little bit more in depth with Bill Conley from Rock M Nation. He is back with us here. All right, let's get with that South region. That contains the overall number one seed, the Virginia Cavaliers. They smother you. They are the wet blanket defense in this entire tournament. However, it's going to be really difficult for them to do what they want to do because they lose a key player yesterday to a broken wrist, and he is done for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, we know what defense Virginia's going to bring to the table here. This was a different year for them in that they did seem to have. Not only maybe their best defense, but they have more a little more punch, a little more consistency offensively, and that's why they ended up seated the way they are. But yeah, you lose a good scorer, and that kind of maybe flips the equation around a little bit, just because they've got a pretty tough region ahead of them if chalk holds at least.
Yep, and they also look at the way that region is lined out. They are the overall number one seed, and as I talked in the last segment, Bill, about Villanova seemingly treated like the overall number one seed. Virginia kind of got treated the way their bracket is seeded, like the unwanted stepchild. Yeah, all right, you're the overall number one seed, but man, we're not happy about this.
Yeah, I mean, Kentucky and Arizona have been very volatile teams. We're talking about volatility a lot in the other regions, but we're assuming that the good versions of those teams show up, and they seem to do so, you know, last week for sure. But they weren't necessarily that good all year, and so. Maybe we're placing a little too much faith in recency or something, but they are very, very good, obviously, and very athletic, no matter what. Even if the shots aren't falling, they're going to be very athletic. And so you figure one of those two teams is waiting in the Sweet 16, and that's going to be a really tough matchup. But at the same time, I mean, we did see Kentucky especially I mean, they got sucked into shooting too many threes sometimes, and they weren't necessarily great at it. When the threes are going down, they're pretty much their Final Four caliber without a doubt, but they don't always fall. And Virginia kind of makes sure you're taking shots you don't necessarily love taking, so maybe that's the difference right there.
Well, see, and I've got Virginia-Arizona because I think they're – I think Arizona right now is riding a wave of emotion, and I – you know, you can carry this maybe through that first weekend when they you know, they got Buffalo. That's pretty much going to be an easy one for the Wildcats. But you get that Kentucky Wildcat matchup, and that's when I think the tank hits E as they squeak that one out. And now what do you do for the second weekend? How do you regroup to take on a Virginia Cavalier team?
Yeah, I mean, Arizona, I really like Arizona. And if you kind of just decide, you know, that injury is going to keep Virginia from going to the Final Four, okay, so who's going to go instead? I would say the most likely team to take them down would be the Arizona-Kentucky winner, and I also have Arizona there. So just almost by default, if you're bracketing things out, maybe you end up with Arizona just because of that. That's what I ended up with. But we'll see. Virginia's still very, 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 very good. Maybe they're not the best team in the country. They're still one of the top four or five, I think. And so it would take a very good Arizona or Kentucky performance to take them down. It's just, you know, we've seen that happen before. So, you know, it could happen here too.
In the South, is the bottom half of that bracket, if chalk holds on day one, is that potentially the most fun second or round of 32? Miami, Tennessee, Nevada, Cincinnati?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be – I think it doesn't even matter. The 6-11 and 7-10 games are going to be fun. The winners of those games are going to be very competitive no matter what. Loyola is actually only three spots behind Miami in the Pomeroy rankings, 37 versus 40 there. That's about the most even matchup in the tournament outside of the 7-10 and 8-9 games. So that one's going to be a straight toss-up, and I really like the Loyola story. If you've been following that, it's a really, really cool thing to track, and I hope they win that game and advance and kind of get a shot at Tennessee there. We're going to assume it's Tennessee. Tennessee has probably the biggest advantage of any of the 3-14 games. I would say that, you know, either way, we're going to get a good game out of that, Tennessee versus whoever. And Nevada, Texas are pretty different teams, I think, overall, but they're reasonably well-matched too. And Cincinnati, it's really – they snuck up on me how good they are this year. And so maybe I'm not giving them enough credit, but it seems like that's going to be a really good 2-7/10 game no matter what.
I mean, I'm not saying Texas moves on here or anything, but there's an unhealthy amount of orange in the bottom half of that bracket. I mean, you've got Miami, Tennessee, Texas, and Cincy all kind of in weird variations of orange, burnt orange, and odd colors. So just from a fashion standpoint, I need some upsets there so we don't have some sort of weird orange out there in the round of 32.
Well, but Georgia State has that pretty bright blue, so maybe that'll be maybe that's the ticket right there.
That's true. And, I mean, Virginia's
and they are by far the best of the 15 seeds, so they've got that going for them.
That's true. And Virginia, they're straddling both. They've got the blue and the orange, so.
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
So is this basically your television test pattern bracket?
There you go. Well, I don't know. The test kind of has more than one color. So.
Yeah, well, you got the blue. You're going to have the red of Arizona.
Or
green.
The blue of Kentucky or the blue of, there's potential.
Yeah,
the
green of Miami.
Good aesthetics that can balance out the fact that nobody scores in Virginia games.
Right. And hopefully that is also not the color shock region, because, man, if they drew out the bright ones on that one, that would be just terrible on the
eyes. And we haven't even talked about Kansas State's gray-on-gray uniforms that I'm praying they don't wear.
Well, for that, I have punished them. They get to Virginia, and then they lose.
Okay.
So I don't have to worry about that one. You know, they'll have the two uniforms for the first one, and then they're out. All right, who you got coming out of that South region making it to your Final Four?
I really do think we're probably underestimating Virginia at this point, punishing them for the injury and all that. But I'm doing that. I'm doing exactly that, basically. And I think the second most likely team is Arizona. I do like what I saw for them late in the year. And maybe I'm just being seduced by watching Ayton play. But I really kind of want to watch him play a few more games at the college level, even with that kind of Arizona getting sucked into the undertow, like with so many other programs as far as the benefits and all that. Maybe that's not a lot of fun, but they were a really good, fun team to watch, so I hope I get to watch them a few more times.
All right, Arizona. So Arizona into that Final Four. So we have three quarters of the Final Four in: Villanova, Duke, and now Arizona. So that brings us to this West bracket. Your top seed in the West bracket, Xavier. The two seed is North Carolina in this bracket. For the first time in 5 years, the Missouri Tigers will break their weekend down in a lot more in-depth here in the next segment. But they're that 8-9 game, and that quite literally in this case is a 50-50 toss-up. How much does this change the way this bracket could break out, depending on whether it's Missouri or Florida State moving out of that game?
Yeah, it's going to be the most, just because Xavier isn't as good or hasn't been as good recently, that is going to be probably the most evenly matched of the 1 versus 8 or 9 games any of the potential matchups there in the second round. So, you know, in that sense, I mean, you could certainly blow up your bracket that way. Xavier, again, using the Palmer rankings, is the fourth best team in this region. Mm-hmm. So really, it would be kind of a blow up in name only. The best teams would still probably advance. But, you know, if you're Gonzaga, you really like your draw here, being the fourth seed in this region. If you're Michigan or North Carolina, North Carolina is the lowest, the worst ranked of the two seeds. So really, I guess if you're just licking your chops if you're Gonzaga or Michigan right now. And, you know, it gets even easier if a Missouri or Florida State pulls an upset in the second round. Each of those would be very weird matchups for Xavier, and so not a great draw for the number one seed there.
But how much do you trust North Carolina right now? They've had a year where they look really, really good, much like we've talked with about West Virginia, where they look really, really good. And then there's other times that Roy Williams is probably looking out there going, who the hell are these guys?
Yeah, no, I didn't expect them to play well enough to end up in that two seed line. I was kind of expecting this to be kind of a 4-6 kind of year, mm-hmm, for them. But Williams really did a nice job of coaching up, you know, dealing with the turnover and all that, and putting a good product on the court. I almost said field. I'm always in football mode.
Yes.
But yeah, Michigan, I think, is probably, I trust them more than North Carolina at this point. I'm probably underestimating Houston. But I trust Michigan to get out of the bottom half of that bracket a little more than anybody else, I think.
Okay, because I actually I've got Michigan, North Carolina, and I believed a little bit more in North Carolina kind of putting things together in that second weekend to get out of that portion. I'm stuck.
There's certainly history of that recently, yeah, with North Carolina. It would not be a big surprise there.
Too soon to call a timeout?
That's right. Yeah, it's always going to be too soon for that one.
Okay. All right, well, I look now and Jay is telling me I don't have any left, so, oh, darn.
Well, that's a T then.
Bill Conley, Rock'em Nation on Twitter, at @SBN_Bill. See?
I will be the Eric Montross to your Chris Webber here. as you, you know, when you look at this, how do you, you know, some of the names in this bracket that are under the radar to me are kind of interesting. I mean, you have a team like Texas A&M, again, who was a top 10 team early, almost like a clone of Florida, and then injuries and underperforming for a while, and then sort of got things back together again. You know, a Houston team that comes out of a you know, slightly down conference, but puts together a 6 seed. Michigan is people are kind of, how did they go to a 3 seed from, you know, a 28-7 type season and a Big Ten championship? You know, there's just a lot of names, and then like you said, the weakest number two, the weakest number one, and it just seems like it's ripe for chaos.
Yeah, this is certainly, I think, the least certain of the regions overall. I mean, all those teams you just mentioned, you know, Michigan being in a very good spot, Gonzaga or Ohio State being in a very good position, but Providence is really tough. A&M is all over the map. Missouri's been all over the map. Florida State is extremely athletic, and if you don't hit 3-pointers over them, you're going to struggle to score. There are landmines everywhere, especially when you factor in Xavier being a pretty weak number one. So, I mean, if you're Missouri, if this is where, you know, you get start seeing Michael Porter Jr. averaging 30 points per game out of the gates here in the tournament, which I heartily encourage, by the way.
Yes.
I mean, there's nobody in this region that you just cannot beat. That goes for just about everybody else in the region too, at least the top 9 or 10 seeds. But I mean, this is exactly where you want to be if you're Missouri.
Bill Conley, Rock'em Nation, SB Family of Nations, West Seed. Who comes out of this into your final four?
I think I like Michigan. Michigan and Gonzaga both, okay, I really like, but I think, you know, in terms of trust factor, I think I trust Michigan the most here.
Okay, so then you have Michigan, Arizona. Who comes out of that one?
Well, I'm riding in an irrational Arizona wave here, so we'll just ride it.
Okay.
Villanova in the final.
Well, there could be some free shoes in this for you. And then on the other side, Villanova and Duke.
Yeah, I just really like Villanova. I think, you know, if you're just looking at the bracket today, and I'm picking this team no matter what, that team is Villanova for me.
So do you like Villanova enough to give them the scissors and the ladder at the end?
That's, I mean, I would put them, you know, we are talking about a tournament setting here. So, like, I, you know, the team I'm most confident in probably has like a 20% chance at best.
Right.
But yeah, they're definitely at the top of my list.
All right, your national champion climbing that Werner ladder with the surgical scissors in hand, Jay Wright, one of the best-dressed guys in college basketball.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man, he'll be able to afford a brand-new wardrobe for when he brings home the Nets and the trophy for the Villanova Wildcats. So that's our run through the brackets, all four of the regions, the East, the Midwest, the South, and the West. We'll talk the Missouri weekend as it shapes up, especially beginning against Florida State, and we will do that next. You ready to dive into that one? And we won't have to worry about too many reserves because, well, there aren't very many of them to worry about. So,
there you go.
Yeah, man. All right. Missouri is the topic next.
The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
All right, welcome back. It's the Closers here. Bill Conley from Rock Him Nation, SB Family of Nations, hanging forth. The phone is now plugged in, and a rapid charge is being administered to Bill Conley and his phone. Alongside Jay Sparks, I'm George Young, and this is our tournament preview because we get Bill for today, and then the tournament begins in earnest tomorrow night. You do have the opportunity to watch another set of first fours. That will be tonight. Number 11 seed is the destination for either Arizona State or Syracuse. A 16 seed, NC Central or Texas Southern. So that's the on tap for tonight. Missouri is on tap for this weekend. It is a Friday night game, 8:45-ish on TBS. They will take on the Seminoles of Florida State. Bill Conley from Rock M Nation. Your first blush, as you heard, Missouri, 8 seed. Florida State, 9 seed. You thought what?
Well, I was really initially expecting the committee to be on its game and either pair Missouri with Kansas State in the first round or with Kansas in the second, and they didn't either. Again, as we were saying in the last segment, in terms of overall draw, you could have a lot worse than this. But Florida State's unique. Mm-hmm. You know, they're very long and athletic. They don't necessarily shoot all that well from long range. They don't prevent you from shooting from long range because they're really busy trying to prevent entry into the paint, and they do a pretty good job of that. So they really do render you reliant on the outside shot, and that could mean any number of things from Missouri. Missing Jordan Barnett obviously does not help in that regard, but we all know the capabilities that Michael Porter Jr. has, even though he hasn't had that many chances to display his long range capabilities in a Missouri uniform. Still got Cassius Robertson, still got Jonte Porter, of course, and maybe that's enough. Maybe if they can split the difference on the interior, there's not a big foul differential, then it just comes down to who shoots threes better. That could very well be Missouri.
If Cassius Robertson plays 40 minutes, which we assume he will.
He's going to play 40 minutes.
We assume he will, then that means there's 160 minutes left to be played by the other four members. You have five other guys not named Reed Nicko and Brett Rao. That's 32 minutes a game. Can Tillman, Jonte, can they give 32 minutes in a winning effort?
I don't think they'll have. I mean, they won't be asked to do that because I do expect Nicko to play his customary 8-10. Brett Rao, there really might not be a choice in the matter. But to have him play a few minutes just for balance's sake, because otherwise you're playing. I mean, I want to see, as Sam Snellett and Rockin was talking about the other day, almost like a 1-3-1 defense kind of thing where you've got Cassius Robertson and basically everybody else on the court is 6'7 or taller. You've got Michael Porter Jr. and Jonte Porter and Kevin Poirier and Jeremiah Tillman. That lineup just makes me very happy and I want to see it. But you're probably not going to see it for just a dramatic number of minutes. So it is. You're going to need 30-plus minutes out of Michael Porter, though. I don't think there's any way around it. And, they were guarded. They kind of protected him in terms of both minutes and what they were asking him to do against Georgia, and that made a lot of sense. But this might be his last game in a Missouri uniform. It might be the last game of the season. Mm-hmm. And there's just not a bench. And so you're probably going to see Rao play 10 minutes. you're probably going to – there might not be a choice but to see Porter play 30-plus, and we'll see if he's ready.
How much pressure is on Michael Porter Jr.? I mean, you look at the entire year, and it has now boiled down to 2 minutes at Iowa State, 23 minutes – in a game against Georgia where he was a volume shooter and not a volume maker, about a 30% clip, which isn't necessarily out of line for what he normally does. But now, I mean, is he looking at this game going, man, I really, really have to prove myself? And can that be detrimental to what Missouri is trying to do as a team?
Well, it's kind of, I've gone back and forth on that because, yeah, you don't necessarily want a guy pressuring, like putting a lot of pressure on himself. Like, I have to be awesome. Mm-hmm. I have to score 30-plus because I got to prove that I'm capable of that and I haven't had a chance. That can result in a lot of forced shots and everything else. Or, I mean, but at the same time, Michael Porter Jr. has been has dealt with the expectations of being the best player on the court for basically every game he's played for the last, like, 3 years. He's, you know, the attention he got in high school was pretty dramatic, and it's really not going to be probably all that much different than what he sees here. So I think he's a natural enough scorer in terms of putbacks and everything else that if they ask him to show his whole game, there's a very good chance he'll be relaxed enough to do a good job. It's just, you know, does he have the legs to do it after, you know, sitting out for so long? He's played 25 minutes all year. I'm much more worried about just the physical, you know, just his legs being ready to do it. I'm not necessarily worried about him putting himself in kind of almost like a bad mindset. He seems to have one of the things I always really enjoyed watching him, like in the preseason and in the McDonald's All-American game and everything else, is he just does such a nice job of letting the game come to him and say, okay, here, how am I going to score here? Well, they're doing this, so I've got to do this. It's kind of an if-then kind of game, and I really like it. I really want to see it in a Missouri uniform before he leaves, and we might or might not. But if his legs are there, I think he'll have a really nice game.
Okay, for Florida State, their offense really kind of centers around Terrence Mann, Phil Kofer, and Trent Forrest. Those three are all averaging over 30 minutes a game, and two of them are averaging over almost 13 minutes points per game. And then you also have the shot blocking ability for Florida State. You kind of alluded to that in the first last segment about they'll let you shoot from three because they've got the middle so clogged up. For Missouri, if you're on defense and you're worried about those three, who are you tasking to give you that defensive effort?
Yeah, and that's another very good question because you don't have Barnett and Cassius Robertson. Like, I think Terrence Mann is the key for Florida State, but he's a lot taller than Cassius Robertson. So I think it becomes a kind of a team effort. Kind of like we saw Missouri do against Mayton from Georgia, which worked out really, really well one time and not well at all the next. But I mean, he's really good at attacking. Their guards aren't gonna, they're not gonna shoot a lot of threes. They're not necessarily, they're really probably not gonna make a lot of threes. Although, you know, we said that about a couple teams that proved us wrong late in this Missouri season. But, you know, they are a team that likes to attack. They like to get to the foul line. They like to get it in the paint. Just as they like to prevent you from getting there. And it's they're a tricky matchup in that regard. But, I mean, you can spin that around. Missouri's got height and height and height. And maybe, you know, this is probably not a lineup that anybody in the country has dealt with all that much, much less Florida State. And so maybe Missouri's advantage is here, or at least Missouri's uniqueness, kind of forces Florida State out of its game a little bit, especially if the Porters are making some three-pointers early and drawing defenders every which way, and they don't know who to guard or how to go about it, you can maybe create some mismatches.
After the Florida State matchup, if things go well for Mizzou, turning around 48 hours for Xavier, a number one seed, and the potential of adding another pair of legs, Jordan Barnett, who would be fresh, you know, obviously you relish a chance to play a second game. Obviously you relish a chance to knock off a number one seed, but are the legs there? Is there enough in the tank for a 48 hour turnaround for a team that's so outmanned right now?
You know, as far as Michael Porter Jr. goes, I mean, that's certainly a question there, but overall, I mean, you know, you've got 2 days rest if Barnett's involved again, or I should say 1 day rest, 2 days between games overall. So, I mean, I think in the end, it doesn't necessarily make that big a difference. I'm more concerned about fatigue in a conference tournament setting. If you have to play three games in 3 days or 4-4, that's when it becomes a major question. But aside from Porter just having not played many minutes total, I think it'll probably be okay for him, or for most of the team, I should say, against Villanova. The other thing they have going for them is, I mean, Florida State might try to push the tempo a little bit, but Missouri's very good at making sure the tempo isn't pushed. And so, I mean, if they're playing a slower game in that regard and not necessarily running up and down a whole bunch, then, I mean, maybe that saves some legs a little bit here and there, too.
Bill Connolly, Rock M Nation with us here. Florida State will draw fouls. Missouri has a propensity to accumulate them, much the way they give the ball away. Which becomes the bigger story of this, the turnovers and points off, or the free throw shooting ability for Florida State to keep this thing close or keep Missouri at arm's length?
Yeah, that's one of the other encouraging things about the matchup overall. Florida State's not necessarily a great turnover forcing defense. They force bad shots, you know, they get hands in your face and all that, but they're not going to go out and pressure you into 25 turnovers a game. Now, Missouri's will to create turnovers or to commit turnovers has been stronger than their opponent's defense at times, but yeah, that's at least a slightly positive matchup in that regard, in that Florida State might not be able to take advantage of the biggest overall weakness. So you've got that going for you. I don't know. I mean, I think this overall, I'm really intrigued by this game top to bottom, just in that both teams have the ability to create awkward matchups for the other. You've got Missouri's really extreme depth issues overall. And you've got Florida State's length without a go-to scorer, which, you know, if you're down and you're not very good at pressuring, you need somebody to take over, they might not have that. So this game could go in a lot of different ways. I think it's one of the best games of the first round. I've got it at the end of the first round, too, by the way. We can just enjoy the tournament as normal. And then, oh, yeah, Missouri's playing to end things on Friday night.
Yes, they are. Do they get out of that Saturday? Do they get out of that Friday night game?
I have no, like, if it happens, I want to say I predicted it. That's going to be my default here. So we're going to say yes, but, I mean, this really could be a straight coin toss. Or it could be a game where, you know, Missouri shoots 6-for-28 from three-point range or whatever, and it's not much of a game at all. But, yes, I will. It's a really intriguing game, and I'm just going to predict Missouri to win just because why not?
All right. Okay. Searching Twitter, Bill, I just want to let you know that a major internet service provider in Columbia says the major outage will be fixed about 8:30 p.m. in case you need to make dinner plans somewhere with Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it's TV too, by the way. So we're basically, we have a 6-year-old here who's been rendered to old DVDs she's watched 1,000 times. Nobody's happy right now.
Nobody's happy.
That's too bad, man, at the Connolly household. All right, next Wednesday when we get together, we'll be talking about another weekend of basketball for the Missouri Tiger men.
It is absolutely conceivable, but I'm not going to bet on it.
If I gave you Jay's checkbook, would you bet on it?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
all
right. 1 week from today, will we be talking about a second weekend of Missouri Tiger women's basketball?
I feel a little more confident in that one. Stanford's obviously very good, and there's Stanford there. A historic women's program and all that, but I like this team, and I've decided, just because I want to keep liking this team as much as I did about a month ago, I'm going to assume that the break that they've gotten is going to help them out immensely and kind of get rid of some of those dead legs that we saw at the end of the year.
All righty. Bill Connolly, Rock M Nation, SB Family of Nations. Over under meaningful minutes in the NCAA basketball game for Jordan Barnett, 0.
Ooh. Oh, man. Nah. I guess since I have already predicted that Missouri is going to win, I've made that my official prediction, that I'm going to say over, but it's going to be tricky. I was surprised that he wasn't also suspended for the entire weekend. But if he's not suspended, I like I said, I got to put my money, well, Jay's money where my mouth is, and I've already predicted Missouri to win, so
yep.
Over.
All righty. I often put my money where Jay's money is as well. So we're even up on that one. Bill, thank you for the extended time here today. I really do appreciate it. Enjoy the tournament, if not the outage.
Thank you.
All right. You're very welcome. Bill Connolly, Rock M Nation.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.